You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. I am going to come up for air in a show very soon. I promise you that. It's just been an amazingly busy few weeks in my personal life and on the radio as well. But we're gonna have another busy one tonight, and a good one at that. It's Saturday evening, January the 10th. I want you to look back on the last three shows we've had, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, last week, talking to a man who is just still in the middle of a national news furor, if you will. And we had him on to speak in his own words, got a tremendous amount of feedback to that interview, almost all of it very good. Of course, when you're dealing with an audience the size of ours, you do get diverse opinions. Some of us, some said we talked too much. Some said we didn't let David talk enough. Some said David talked too much. But overall and overwhelmingly, the feedback was very, very positive to last week's two-hour exclusive interview with the former representative from Louisiana. I don't think I need to name his name. We all know who he is, and he's still making news this week. That hasn't died down. We'll talk about that a little more this hour. But also tonight, we're going to have Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. He'll be on to talk to us about a highly encouraging movement taking place in Germany right now. We'll spill the beans on that in just a moment. Of course, 2 weeks prior to last week's show, we had Sean Bergen live and on the streets of New York, providing us with exclusive reporting on the scene outside of the hospital where the two fallen police officers were taken. And then again, 2 weeks ago, rather, outside one of the memorials, one of the vigils for one of the officers. Just an outstanding program. The last few weeks, I think we have turned yet another corner in our evolution as we continue to ascend toward the stars here on the Political Cesspool. It's just been fantastic radio. Newsmakers, people reporting live from the scenes of globally covered stories. This is the Political Cesspool. If news is breaking and it concerns our people, we're covering it, and we're right in the middle of it. Very excited about how the show has gone in the last few weeks. But they have been busy shows because of the breaking news and having to cover these stories that weren't planned to be covered in advance. And, of course, with the holidays, with Christmas in December, playing the Christmas music takes up a little time. I mean, I think that is time, of course, well allocated. But it's just been busy, busy, busy. It's going to be another busy show tonight, and then maybe next week we'll have a chance to pace ourselves a little bit. You know, one thing I was very proud to do also in December, when we were conducting the fourth quarter fundraising drive. By the way, everybody who contributed at the appropriate levels will be receiving their incentive packages here in a few days. They'll go out next week, so we're excited to give all of you a token of our appreciation via the USPS. But I was so excited to read all of the cards and letters and emails that came pouring in December. And I think at the top of each show in December, we gave a brief sampling of some of the cities and towns and villages from which our listeners hail. It was just so encouraging to be able to speak the diversity of places from which our audience originates. I've got a couple of letters here, rather, that I'm going to read tonight here at the top of the show, and then we're going to sink our teeth into tonight's work. This comes from a loyal listener, Keith, in Greenbelt, Maryland. And he writes, "Who could have imagined that the anti-European propaganda would become so constant and powerful that it could incite the killing of police? Your work is needed now more than ever." And, of course, he's referring to those stories that Sean Bergen reported on so dutifully there the last 2 weeks in December. And then this letter comes in from Thomas in Sonora, California. So from Maryland to California, from sea to shining sea, Thomas writes, "Dear James, if I may call you that, congratulations on your recent broadcast anniversary and what sounded like a wonderful celebratory event." Here, even in the tail end of December, we're still getting feedback from our anniversary, the 10-year in October. Most of all, congratulations, he writes, on your new son. Yes, Henry is a kingly name, which is only appropriate considering the caliber of his parents, one of whom is the radio warrior king of the West, and yet someone who remains a gentleman. This guy's obviously never met me, Keith. Under pressure, regularly demonstrating dignity, humility, and grace, making him all the more admired. In all seriousness, Thomas, I thank you for that. And he writes in closing, cannot thank you enough for all that you, your wife, and the rest of the political cesspool troopers are doing for our people. A very happy 2015 to you. He writes, your pre-Christmas broadcast was an instant classic, and his postscript all did a great job, and I would have Sean Bergen on as often as possible. We also this week, that's from Thomas in California, received a letter, Keith Alexander, from Barry in Charleston, South Carolina, who was writing about what a great time he had at the anniversary event in October. So the letters, the emails, the cards, they all still come pouring in each and every week. We are happy. And let me tell you something. It's not just the fans of the political cesspool that are keeping tabs on what we're doing. I believe now more than ever, the mainstream media. Well, we're part of the mainstream. Listen, we're a nationally syndicated show. We're on AM radio stations across the country. We're mainstream. We're as mainstream as anybody. Let me tell you that right now. But I'm talking about the establishment media. The establishment media. I think they're keeping tabs on us too, Keith, and this is something that people have been saying and hinting at and believing to be true for a long time. I think you believe it to be true as well, right?
Absolutely.
Well, here's what's going on. Well, first of all, I got an email this week from a producer from National Public Radio. Now, you know National Public Radio is covered or carried, rather, by 900 affiliate radio stations across the country. They wanted to have me on to talk about immigration. Well, they wanted to have me on. This is another reason why we need a little bit more of a support staff around here. I did not receive the email from that producer at NPR. I received it actually about 2 hours after she sent it, and I responded saying that I'd be interested in learning more. By that time, apparently the ship had already sailed. They didn't hear back from me quickly enough, and they informed me that they had filled my seat, what would have been my seat, to a Hispanic woman. A Hispanic woman filled the seat of James Edwards to talk about immigration. Now, they said they wanted diverse viewpoints. It was a four-panel discussion. It was going to last an hour on NPR. I didn't respond quite quickly enough, so my seat got filled by a Hispanic woman. I guess that passes for diversity, right, Keith?
Yep. Diversity of everything except diversity of opinion.
Well said, my friend. Well, nevertheless, that's happened before. You know, the Sean Hannity television show a few years back emailed me. I actually got that email right when it came in, but I despise Sean Hannity so much, I purposefully dragged my feet. What would be the proper word there?
Dragged my feet.
Yeah. I did respond later. All coverage is good coverage. Well, I found that out later. This was before my run on CNN. This was way back in, I think, 2006. But nevertheless, this does happen from time to time. A lot of times I purposefully choose not to make these appearances. But I think this is something I would like to start doing more, and we're working towards that. When we come back, Keith Alexander is going to take over here along with yours truly, riding shotgun, and we're going to tell you why we believe that the establishment media may be keeping tabs on the political cesspool, and we're going to get into a lot more tonight. Mark Weber coming up in the second hour. You'll hear from Winston Smith tonight. Busy, busy show. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, I got to look at my cue card here so I'll know what to talk about. All right, so I told you about the NPR Almost interview this week. That would have been nice. But we are on their radar now, they said, so they'll keep me in mind for future, I guess, when they need a straw man or something. All right, what's going on in the mainstream media? Of course, at the tail end of 2014, this whole Steve Scalise thing broke, and it was being covered everywhere, as you well know. Every publication, every TV show, everybody, everywhere in the media, the controlled media, was covering it. And I wrote something the first week of January on the Political Cesspool's website, and I said, you know, everybody's writing, you know, writing about this so-called scandal, and I called out the press for being so ridiculous as to not give David Duke his proper titles. He is a former representative. He should be introduced as such, and of course none of these outlets were doing that. And I also mentioned that while every news outlet in America is talking about him, we would actually talk with him the following Saturday. Now, I wrote this, a week ago Wednesday, and that would have been for last week's show, talking about that Saturday. Well, lo and behold, just after I write this, it comes to find out that he's booked on CNN Saturday, just hours before his appearance with us, and for the first time ever, as far as I can remember, he was introduced properly as former Louisiana State Representative. Then, two nights after his appearance on our radio program, he turns up on the O'Reilly Factor. Now, the O'Reilly Factor wasn't nearly as well done, in my opinion, as the CNN interview, but to his credit, and Bill O'Reilly was incredulous in his interview with Duke, it was really maddening. Duke talked about equal rights for all, et cetera, as he talked about on our show and as he did on CNN, which has been his consistent message for years and decades now, at least as long as I've known him. And he said, though, he does look out, and he's a spokesman for European heritage. O'Reilly pretended, Keith, not to understand what European heritage was, which was incredulous. But I will give him credit for this, Bill O'Reilly. For the first 20 minutes of his show, before having Duke on, he talked about black crime. And let me tell you something. If you had dubbed his voice with either yours, Keith, or mine, what he said, it was no different whatsoever than what you would hear on our program on any given night. And so, is all of this a coincidence? Well, it certainly could be. But then again, maybe not. I mean, based upon our track record over the years of consistently making news, the amount of coverage we have received from 2004 through today, it's impossible to believe that the things we do are not monitored by the rest of the media. So have we had an impact on some of the discourse in the last week? Keith, I turn it over to you.
Well, this mimicry is nothing new. We've been monitoring this really for years now. Rush Limbaugh in particular seems to fall into, you know, he even uses the same catchphrases. Like, I remember I came out with the name for Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz, and lo and behold, that's one of Rush Limbaugh's signature lines now. So consequently, you know, and James has been borrowed from in numerous times. And, of course, we don't mind this a bit. You know, what do they say? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Right, James?
Well, that's right. And we'll never get credit for it. But credit's not important. What's important is that the work gets done, the job gets done, that we have an impact. The extent to the impact that we're having here on the political cesspool is anyone's guess. I mean, certainly we know how big our audience is in and of itself and in our own sphere of influence. So we're doing more than anybody on this side of the fence through our cooperation and working relationship with this great network. We are accomplishing so much as far as media goes. But, you know, again, you look at our track record, you know they're monitoring us because we've been guests on their programs. We've been covered by 250 different newspaper and magazines throughout the course of our run. And again, just this week, you know, popping up on the radar of NPR. So, you know, we're a known commodity. We're everybody's dirty little secret, I guess. And certainly we would never get credit or be given.
I think they use us to find out what red state America is really, truly thinking on certain topics. James, what do you think?
Well, that very well could be the case. It's like Steve Scalise said. He's David Duke without the baggage. Well, maybe they want to be a little more like political cesspool without getting called out for it. But now let me tell you something. If they ever truly cross the Rubicon, the name calling is going to happen. And that's something that they should embrace. You know, that's absolutely something that should be embraced. And the double standards that are out there are well known. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Listen, if you are not ashamed of Western civilization, if you are not ashamed but rather proud of your ancestry, if you're proud about the scientific advancements and all of the cultural achievements that has been born in the hearts and minds of European mankind, and you know that what Western civilization has given to the world benefits all of humanity, if you're not ashamed of that, if you're proud of it, you're going to be called a bunch of horrible names. So what? Listen, let them call us names. We've got to do something here. You know, we've
call us anything except late for dinner. And, you know, who wants to be admired by as scurrilous a group as the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example?
Well, that's right. Yeah, right. And if you're on the right side of the Southern Poverty Law Center, you're on the wrong side of the culture war, and you're on the wrong side of this battle for our freedom and for our independence and for, listen, your kids.
Truth, God, and the American way.
Well, your kids will spit on your grave. If you're not standing up and fighting for the interest of our family, and we consider our race to be part of our extended family, if you're not fighting for that, not against anyone, mind you, but if you're not championing your own family, when this thing falls apart and when we become a minority here, you're not going to be remembered for the cocktail parties you were invited to when it was all still ahead of us. Your children and your grandchildren will remember you for what you didn't do when there was still a chance to make this country safe for them. And so we take the arrows for everyone. We take the arrows for the people who are not yet willing to stand up for themselves, and we try to encourage people to follow our lead. And Keith, you know, over the years, over this decade and change now that we've been on the air, we've seen so many thousands of people around the world write in and say that they are drawing inspiration from our work and from what we're doing, and that they're better off for it and they're more courageous for it. And that's why we do what we do.
Well, we're even inspiring spinoff programs and copycat programs like the one in Sweden that we've talked about. You know, was it Incognito or something? And we've got programs like that all over the world now. Basically, we've proven that it can be done, and other people are doing it, and the word is getting out And God bless them. This is the only way to combat the slanders and the defamation that is leveled against true conservatism throughout the Western world.
We're going to transition now and talk about some other things because we have a lot to talk about tonight. But I will remind you, of course, a big show last week. If you want to watch David Duke's appearances on CNN with the Michael Smirkanish show and then, of course, on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, respectively, we have the video, the YouTube clips of both of those appearances there at thepoliticalcesspool.org along with other commentary related to the Steve Scalise scandal. Now, let me tell you this, or so-called scandal. I mean, if he had gone to any group, any outspoken group advancing the interests of that particular community, it would be all well and good. But he goes to a group, not a Klan group, not a neo-Nazi group, as it's been called. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But he goes to a group of normal conservative Christian people associated with David Duke. And, of course, it becomes a big deal. Well, that's madness. He should have owned up to it. You know, this cowardly running and
ducking and dodging.
All of that. And listen, he should resign. You know, let me tell you that. He should resign. Steve Scalise, I, James Edwards, say that Steve Scalise should resign from Congress right now. Not because he went to the David Duke meeting, but because what good is he going to do now? Now he's for sure never going to do anything good for our people. If he votes against amnesty, if he votes against anything that could somehow be, hang on, Keith, you're going to pull that, whoa, whoa. If he votes for anything that could be construed as being good for white people, they're going to say, oh, look, there it is. I tell you, obviously, he's a racist. He's never going to be able to do anything of substance for our people at all. He should resign. We got to take a break.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder, irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, the AmericanFreedomParty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, I think in a nutshell, everything that I was covering in the first two segments, ladies and gentlemen, is just to say how proud I am of what we have been able to do together. And I mean it, folks. It's together. We have done a lot more than anyone ever thought possible in the fall of 2004 when it first began. And we have got a lot more to do over the course of the years to come. And together it shall be done. Now, here's the story we got. We talked last week. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but it was recently, about the fact that the movers and shakers in the Republican Party, the elite of the neocon apparatus, are pretty much pooling their money together in the support of three candidates. Those three candidates for the next Republican nomination for president of the United States are, in no particular order, Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney for the third time, and Chris Christie of New Jersey. Found a great article this week written by Hunter Wallace, who was at our 10-year anniversary party. He is the editor of Occidental Dissent website, and he writes that the oligarchs are gathering to keep the GOP kosher. I'm going to read it very quickly. It's just a short three-paragraph treat, and then I'm going to toss it over to Keith for comment. He writes that this political article that he found is a great example of why he doesn't believe in Jewish conspiracy theories. A conspiracy, he writes, is a secret plot to do something harmful. There is nothing at all secretive about how Jewish billionaires like Sheldon Adelson writes huge checks to corrupt the political process on behalf of their co-ethnics in Israel. The bribery is always done out in the open. Therefore, there is no conspiracy. Even though there is only one Jewish Republican in Congress and the GOP wins only 33% of the Jewish vote, Jews are 2% of the American population, every single Republican in Congress is slavishly pro-Israel because of that Jewish money. And of course, Keith, we all see this despicable spectacle of the candidates each four-year cycle going into Israel and worshiping the Wailing Wall and wearing the yarmulkes. I mean, it's just, you know, ludicrous. This is the what Politico wrote, though. The Republican Jewish Coalition, facing the loss of its leading champion and tensions within the GOP, is planning an aggressive push in 2015 to enforce the hawkish pro-Israel consensus it helped build within the party over the past two decades. Efforts to appeal to Jews may seem disproportionate to the size of the Jewish population, you think, which constitutes about 2%, but their influence transcends their numbers. Jews, Politico writes, are important in the electoral process both because of activism and because of their money. In fundraising and in bundling, they have influence beyond their numbers and even beyond their money. Now, that was a direct excerpt from Politico. So this is what's going on, Keith, behind the scenes in the Republican Party. And by the way, it should be added that if you went to GOP.com and looked at their most recent press releases, as I did, you will see that the Republican National Committee issued its usual statements that it celebrates Hanukkah, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah. However, if you went there expecting to find any announcement whatsoever pertaining to Christmas, you're going to be sorely mistaken. So, three press releases. The GOP honoring Hanukkah, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah. This is at GOP.com, folks, the official Republican Party website. Not one press release related to Christmas.
What do they say, James? Money talks and BS walks, and everything except money is BS. This is the secret of Jewish power and influence. This is why PACs, political action committees, are almost exclusively a Jewish invention. Why the phenomenon of bundling comes almost exclusively from the West Coast, and also from the Northeast. And bundling means that you can't track the money. So that's another great Jewish invention. But we know where the money comes from. 75% of the money raised to support the campaigns of national candidates, that would be for the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate or for president in the Democratic Party come from Jewish interests. Over 40% of the money used to finance Republican candidates for national office, again, the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, and president, again, come from the same group, which is only 1.7% of the United States population. They are over one-third, Jews are over one-third of the Forbes 400 richest Americans, undoubtedly, based on last names. Secondly, they are over one-third of the student population of the most elite colleges and universities in America, places like Harvard, Yale, and Stanford. This type of, and quite frankly, if you're going to have a big job in any national governmental technocratic position, like being a foreign policy advisor, you have to go to one of those schools, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, maybe University of Chicago, a few more, that have this overwhelmingly Jewish student body, at least compared to their numbers in the general population. And even then, almost all of these people, people like Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, Richard Perle, are of Jewish descent. The reason they don't have to hide is because with their complete, almost utter and complete media control, nothing ever gets mentioned. Nobody ever connects dots between these names, for example, and the fact they're Jewish. If you do, you're going to be roundly denounced as being anti-Semitic. And most people are kept in the dark and unfortunately are so incurious that if it were not for outlets like the Political Cesspool, nobody would ever mention the fact that almost all of these movers and shakers in the national government are Jewish, James.
Well, that's absolutely right. And again, you know, do we have a problem with them? Are we so rabidly anti-Semitic because they're Jewish and we just hate them because they're Jews? I mean, obviously that's just preposterous. I mean, you know, that's not the fact. We have a problem, ideologically speaking, which is the problem we have throughout politics. We are ideologically motivated, and certainly we're motivated to help our family.
We're conservative. We're unabashedly and unashamedly and unapologetically conservative here at the Political Cesspool. And anyone who is not conservative, in fact, has set themselves out, like liberals have, to be the enemies of conservatism, well, they are the ones that have made us the enemy. We're not the one that have made them.
And I maintain, you're right, Keith. And, you know, I've been debating this with friends in recent weeks as well. I consider myself to be an authentic conservative. And I think you now have to draw a distinction between
authentic and inauthentic.
Right. And that is paleoconservative versus neoconservative, which is a Jewish-led conservatism. You know, but listen, I think we would have been very mainstream back, you know, certainly 100 years ago, but even as recently as 40 or 50 years ago. What we would have talked about would have just been common sense, and no one would have raised an eyebrow about it. Now, we are conservatives, but yes, now I said a lot of what we do, and certainly the vast majority of it, is ideologically motivated, but that, you know, it should also be clearly stated that we are explicitly pro-white, in that we champion our family first and our culture first and our faith,
and we
Christianity
do this by
first.
Default. This is a default position because no one else wants to, you know, wave that banner. We've got to do that because no one else, we're doing the job that other Americans don't want to do, as they say. Now, we're getting back to the three main Republican candidates as they are developing in the early part of the primary season.
And before you get into that, I was just going to say, and this is the, you know, one of the great problems we have, or disagreements rather, with Jews. I mean, of course, an anti-Semite is anyone who disagrees with a Jew. But our problems with those Jews, particularly the ones in control of our media and our government and academia and now the churches even, is that they are so rapidly anti-Christian and conservative. They are liberal, but, you know, and listen, we've had quite a few Jews on this program. I, you know, at least a half a dozen, and that's not a lot, but, you know, we've had a half a dozen very prominent Jews, professors that, you know, Paul Gottfried, for instance. Listen, if they are with us on the issues, then I'm with them and vice versa. And, you know, for the blacks out there that are with us on the issues. But, you know, how many of them are there? Well, not a lot, not as many as I'd like to see. But listen, anybody who, you know, won't stand in the way of me standing up and protecting my cultural heritage and wanting to have, you know, to be able to live in a place that mirrors my culture. I wish everyone else could have that as well. Then, you know, I can work with them.
Well, it's not like we're a minority viewpoint. It was our ancestors that founded this nation that developed the institutions of our government, of our civilization. And any transformation, any departure from that heritage, inevitably leads to devolution of the civilization and culture. If you don't think that we have gone downhill, for example, over the last 70 years as a nation and as a culture, you just haven't been paying attention, James.
Well, that's right. And then, you know, there's a reason we have had that.
Well, look at the illegitimacy rate, for example, in 1950 versus today.
Well, there's a reason we've been going down that declining path. And a lot of it has been because of the media and those who control it. And we know who controls
it. Liberalism, which is caused by Jewish power and influence. More after these words from our sponsor.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, one of the things we're working on now that we have turned the page to a new calendar year is we're going to have some fresh musical bumpers in and out of our commercial breaks here fairly soon, and we're working on getting those taken care of. I know Peter Scoop Stanton has put in a request that his segment contain music that he actually likes rather than the music I abuse him with. And so that's all forthcoming. A little fresh paint job, a little facelift, if you will. Well, anyway, we do have Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid correspondent, on the line with us now. And as we have mentioned, we're working to alleviate a logjam that current events has thrust upon us. And that is, I like to have the top 10 lists for 2014 either done in the last week of 2014 or the first week of 2015 for obvious reasons. Well, with the situation with Steve Scalise and, of course, Sean Bergen's great reporting on the scene of breaking national news, we've been pushed back, and Scoop has been pushed back. But he's here with us now, and he's got his top 10 moments for the political cesspool's year that was as he sees them. Scoop, how are you tonight, buddy?
Good. And yourself, James?
We're doing good. Always better now that you've joined us.
Outstanding. Well, good evening, cesspool family. Like James was saying, we try to get things done on a timely manner, but things happen, and here we go. As you all know, or you don't know, I'm the official top 10 getter-outer. So let's take it from the bottom. Number 10, Scoop and the Copperhead go to Capitol Hill. Matt, the Copperhead, and myself went to Capitol Hill to different representative offices, and as two hardworking white men, they could care less. You know, as we said before, back in August, unless you got money in your pocket, they don't want to see you. Number 9, Donald Sterling. We were the only show, program, and personality that said, you know what, it's a private citizen, just speak his mind, and he's treated worse than Hitler.
And speaking his mind in a way that was no different than how most normal people believe in the privacy of their own homes. And what was very, you know, yeah, he was in private. That was the key. And, you know, he was forced to sell his $2 billion asset, which was the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm glad you brought that up, Scoop, because I'd forgotten about that we had covered
there
that.
There is nothing as politically correct as professional sports at the major league level now.
But the thing that was ironic was that he was Jewish, of all things. But anyway, continue on, Scoop.
Well, remember the shot lady that owned the Cincinnati Reds that basically got, you know, Marge Schott? She was Jewish, too.
I ran into Marge Schott before she died in Colorado Springs. Of all places, at a hotel I was staying at, I was still with my parents. I think I was 14, but she was getting ice cream. And anyway, that's another story. Scoop, I know we've only got one segment. You've got 10 items to get through, so we'll try not to interrupt you. Continue, my friend.
Okay. Number 8, the immigration flood. Amnesty, amnesty, amnesty. But I was there in Capitol Hill watching Charlie Duff give the Homeland Security the business. And Mr. Secretary was two-stepping when Mr. LaDuff asked, is the border secure? And he said, humina, humina, humina. Okay, number 7.
Before you go to number 7, I should just accentuate that last point you made. You have become fast friends with Fox News reporter out of Detroit, Charlie LaDuff, and so much so that you gained access to Capitol Hill while he was interviewing the Secretary for Homeland Security or one of the undersecretaries, I can't remember who, but it's been a pretty interesting band of brothers that the political cesspool has formed through Scoop Stanton's association with LaDuff, who also appeared on our show earlier this year. Continue, Scoop, please.
Number 7, Matt the Copperhead. This dude is everywhere. He's in New York. He's in D.C. He's in Memphis. He's back in New York. He's in your refrigerator. He was a He was a co-conspirator in my escape attempt to Memphis and was in Ferguson before the media. I like to say that he was in Ferguson, and we had the story in the can before Charlie LaDuff unpacked his suitcase.
I know that you're going to get to these individuals as the top 10 list gets down closer to number 1, but I want to say this in all honesty, and I keep saying I'm not going to interrupt you, but listen, Scoop Stanton has been responsible for at least half of our top 10 items this year. A couple of people that he's brought to the show that I'm sure he'll name in a moment. But, you know, I want to give a tip of the hat to Scoop Stanton for his work on behalf of this show. He does so much behind the scenes that you'll never know, ladies and gentlemen. And then to Matt the Copperhead. Listen, we've got assets out there that are not on the program every week as a regular host or co-host.
He's our man in Havana.
But the Copperhead, you know, he's here, he's there, he's taking Sam Bushman to Illinois right after our meeting in Memphis, and he's going out to you. He is in a different state every time I talk to him. The Copperhead's incredible. But go on, Scoop. I promise I'm going to shut up.
Okay, number six, Ferguson, Missouri, which should have been a local news story, became worldwide news. And we called it yet again.
Got on in on the ground floor.
Right. Number five, Charlie Liddell, one of the craziest interviews ever. But he also did one of the best prank calls ever. And then I went to the top of the hill with him and his cameraman, Bob Shuttleblower, and got a lesson in journalism that no school could teach. Like I said before, he's exactly the same on camera as he is off camera.
He did a great report from the border, and of course he did a great interview, attempted to anyway, with the Secretary of Homeland Security. Scoop Stanton was right there at his right flank, immediately behind the camera. It's been an interesting year with LaDuff, and we still feature some of his excellent videos on thepoliticalcesspool.org.
The guy's zany. What can we say?
Zany. Good word, Keith. All right, number four. Are we down to number four, Scoop?
Yep, number four, Sean Bergen. He loses his job for a politically correct yet 100% true statements. We were one of the few media outlets that had him in on as a guest while his colleagues shunned him. Then he came on to agree, he agreed to come on and talk about Ferguson. And he does a live report from New York for those two flying officers. And then the poor bastard agreed to come on as a full-fledged member of the political cesspool.
And we are very appreciative. And again, we can track all that back to Peter Scoop Stanton. Thank you.
Or we could simply say desperate times call for desperate. Now, listen. Hey, Sean is a pro's pro. We have talked about him, and I think everybody got to know him intimately. He's been on with us four times now, and, of course, the last two reporting live outside of the scenes exclusively for the political cesspool in the last 2 weeks of December with this cop killings. Yeah, I could have gone out to lunch with him if I'd have stayed in Washington one day later. I was there earlier in December and missed both you and Sam and Scoop, or both. Hang on. I missed Scoop, right. Sam, and Sean. Anyway, but listen, Sean Bergen is – I'm interested to find out what your top three are, because if he ranked as number four, the top three have got to be pretty dead gum good. So number three, Scoop.
Number three, the war on police. We were the very first radio show to talk about it. I was the first one to go on Twitter to coin the term war on cops. We reported before everybody else. We talked about the two officers in New York, the officer in Florida, and the Darren Wilson again. And that was, 90% Sean Bergen taking the time, his own cash, his own toll money to get to the scene.
Absolutely right.
Number two, Anthony Acuna. James's best interview with anybody he's ever had on the show. And Anthony Acuna truly revealed his views on race. I knew about listening to him on Opening Anthony and knew that he had the same thoughts of us. And no other media has dared to ask him about his views.
And let me tell you this. Well, I was just going to say, Scoop, I was going to say to the audience, this was the biggest news story that we were a part of in 2014 when Acuna came on our program, and it was certainly the biggest celebrity that we've had on the show that spoke in explicitly pro-white verbiage and did not retract what he had said. Scoop had tried to get Anthony Acuna on this show for a couple of weeks, and I was like, I don't think that's going to be a good fit. I don't know. I didn't want him to get on and start cussing because, he is a little bit of the, he works that into his show, and I wanted him to be sure that he remembered that we were AM radio and not satellite radio. But Scoop kept putting the pressure on me. He said, "You got to have him on." We had him on. It was one of the best decisions we made in 2014. The rest is history.
Well, good decision was you following Scoop's lead.
That's basically right. It was all due to Scoop. We would not have had the biggest story of our year had it not been for Scoop Stanton. That the Anthony Acuna interview was directly a result of Scoop Stanton's ingenuity.
Well, get to number one.
Number one, we're running out of time.
Okay, number one, of course, the anniversary show. James pulled
here, here.
We didn't get invaded by our enemies, and Eddie didn't get escorted out of the ejected out of the building. And then the Copperhead and I tried like hell to get a Ocean's 11 type escape down to Memphis. One of these days I'll open up and tell exactly what we tried to do and how it blew up in our face.
A topic for a different program, but thank you for your top 10 list, Scoop, a week later than I had anticipated. But again, folks, we're looking back on the top 10 moments in Scoop Stanton's mind.
Give us a call. This is Keith Alexander. We're going to have one of those Ocean 11 moments that we're planning, and you need to be in on it, okay?
Always cloak and dagger behind the scenes here in Memphis, but yes, indeed. Well, and of course, the big anniversary event, what more can be said about that that hasn't already been said? But Scoop, thank you so much for your top 10. Thank you for the role you've played in so many of those top 10 events in the last year. We look forward to working with you for another year and many years to come. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Stay tuned, everybody. Mark Weber with us as soon as we come back.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.